This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome into the 1 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. Happy to have you with us. We have a room full of people and a little
non-person
over here. Yeah.
Yeah. Marina.
We tried to get her into a chair in front of a microphone, but we didn't hold the chair still.
She just gave birth to 12 puppies. I'm not giving
nice
her any orders. She's good. She's good. We have Casey Waugh from Wayside Waifs in here with us. And who's with you?
I'm Brett Curry.
How you doing? We just wanted to talk about what Wayside Waifs is up to.
I just wanted a puppy in studio.
And Jamie just wanted to have a puppy in studio. We could have had 12.
That's true.
Could have had 12.
Yes.
But we settled just for the mom. Who,
yeah.
When did she have the puppies?
So she had the puppies about
in the
nine-ish
hallway
weeks
earlier?
Ago.
Oh.
Yeah, on the way up here from the front door.
In the elevator. They're still in there.
Yeah, about 9 weeks ago. Yeah. And then they were spayed and neutered, and they're slowly but surely all being adopted.
How soon after they're born do puppies get spayed and neutered?
8 weeks.
8 weeks,
for
okay.
Puppies,
right.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well, she's over here now. And
yeah.
I was trying to get her up in my lap, but
she's
very
a little
unsure
big for your
room.
Lap, Jamie.
No. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
I don't know who I was insulting more with that one.
Yeah. Okay. Since you said spay and neuter, I want to talk about that for a second. Because, and we'll talk about, the shelter and about how full everybody is right now and with the number of pets that are being dropped off and the number of strays that are being found and all that kind of thing. But I've seen a lot of experts say, we don't have more dogs and more puppies if everybody would spay and neuter their pets. Can we talk about the importance of that if somebody can't afford to do it? Some people just don't. Can we go through that process a little bit and why that's so important?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, as you hear, all these shelters are overwhelmed, whether it's here in Kansas City or across the country. So spaying and neutering really helps that pet population, like we've heard from back in the day. And I mean, it's still true to today. So getting your animal spay and neuter is very, very beneficial to making sure that these animals that are born have a home to go into and then are able to get the care they deserve. We want to make sure that all these animals are treated well, behaviorally, medically, given a loving home. And if we are overwhelmed with puppies and kittens and everything in this world, then it's not going to happen.
If you can't afford it,
then what? That's a tough question. So I will say that Wayside has actually been providing an outreach special here in Kansas City this year. We started that initiative. We want to really help families who have pets. We don't want them to have to surrender their pet. So a lot of folks will come to us, they aren't able to afford the food or the medical care because, as anyone who has a pet knows, those vet prices are very, very expensive and they're only getting higher. So we have a lot of ways that we can help supplement with pet food to make sure that they can keep that pet part of the family. Because as we all believe over at Wayside, your pet is part of the family. It's a family member. So we don't want them to surrender that animal.
Yeah.
And we also want to provide those low-cost vaccinations to help those animals too.
So one thing that we're really interested in is the field trips program that you guys have. So we know Casey Pet Project does the
Dog's Day,
Dog's Day Out. You guys have a similar thing with field trips.
Yes, we do. It's very, very similar to that. Ours is just a field trip program. Not too crazy fancy. You'll remember it. But a volunteer can come and take a dog out for a couple of hours, take them to pet-friendly places. So maybe it's a park, a dog park, pet stores. So you think of this pet specific stores, but then also places like Lowe's.
Yeah.
They actually allow pets
to come. Hardware stores love them.
Yeah. So they have a lot of fun. We have a lot of people in the community who meet these animals, and we've even had people come in and adopt animals they've met at these places. So that's great too. And then it's fun for the animals getting them out. Yeah. I will let you know, Marina here. I mean, this is kind of a little field trip getting her out, meeting all of you here today. It's a lot of fun for her getting that socialization. She's been relaxing the whole time. So instead of being nervous in her kennel, where there are dogs barking around her, people walking around, she's been able to just lay down, ride in the car, see the sun, smell the grass, you know, be a dog. And then now she's literally laying on the ground behind me. So, I mean, she's comfortable and she's happy. And that's what we want all the animals to have.
In my experience, what, because I have zero experience with dogs. I've said I grew up with cats and just started to do something like that because I'm like, well, that's a good introduction for me to knowing, you know, how to handle dogs. And what also is appreciated is what you learn about the animal, about the dog, that then it's just more information. Are they good with kids? Are they good with other dogs? Are they, you know, are they reactive? And that is good information that helps them get adopted.
Definitely. The more they know. And we do a lot of learning about our animals, specifically with dogs. Like you said, when you have an animal come into a home, you want them to be able to acclimate well, and you want to make sure it's a good fit on both ends, for the pets and for the people. And we have a great team of people. Brett here by my side is one of those people who works with our animals. And I don't know if you want to touch on about a few of the things that you do with the animals.
Yeah, so I'm the public training and behavior manager at Wayside. So I manage our team that does all of our behavior evaluations and kind of general population support. So every dog that comes into Wayside gets a behavior evaluation when they get there. Just helps us, kind of like you said, like learn as much as we can about them to get them adopted. So we're looking at how social are they with people? Are they lap dogs who want to cuddle with you? Or are they more independent and would rather go sniff outside and, you know, kind of adventure on their own? Do they play toys? Do they like food? And then how do they handle like being handled? So kind of like you mentioned, are they good with kids? Or are they, you know, we can't guarantee they're good with kids, but we can say, hey, this dog is uncomfortable with having their ears touched or having their feet touched or something like that. So it just lets us make sure that we're setting them up for success and whatever home they go to, and helps us find them that right home.
What's one of the biggest challenges of getting people to come in and adopt pets at Wayside Waves? I know that a lot of times it's, you know, having older animals that that can be a challenge. People want puppies, but besides that, is there other?
Oftentimes black animals are harder to be adopted.
And it's dogs and cats, right?
That applies across the board. Definitely. Yeah. There are several reasons for that. Different times of the year, there's the whole black cat during Halloween theory and thought process.
People think they're bad luck.
Some people do. And then some
superstitious.
People, some people actually want them and then want to return them after Halloween. Like, so then there's that whole
ducks
debacle.
And chicks at Easter.
That for sure happens. And then animals that are black, you can't see their facial features as well. So they don't photograph as well. So as awful and horrible as it is, they don't get the same kind of pictures. And so people either aren't attracted to them when they see them on the website, or they just don't think that they have as good a family photo with their pet. I'm not totally sure because
it's not working for the gram as well.
Color of your hair doesn't matter whatsoever, but it's something we hear a lot.
I'm going to ask a question about pit bulls. I know that and I will tell you the dog I just fostered was a pit bull mostly. I think it was a mix with something else. Pictures are up online if you want to see him. He had the best face. His head was way too big for his body. He was about 2 years old. And he had this massive head and massive face and then this wiggly little body in the back. It was so cute. But I wonder what percentage of the dogs that you have some pit bull in them. And are people dissuaded a little bit from that breed? Part of why I ask is because cities are starting to reverse their pit bull bans because we've learned so much more about them than we used to. Mm-hmm. But is that still kind of a stigma out there for pit bulls?
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a stigma, definitely something that people are holding with them and remembering. I think when you have the cities and everybody backing that, it reinforces the thought. But so I think that when people have allowed pit bulls to be in different cities, that's opening everyone's minds. And they're thinking, they're second guessing that thought of maybe this is an okay pet. We see a lot of pit bulls at the shelter, like you mentioned. How many are pit bulls or are part pit bulls? I would say the vast majority, Brett, you chime in here, but the vast majority have at least some pit bull in them. So 75% have a mix of some kind.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And like you said, mix of some kind, I think is the really important piece, is like we rarely know what our dogs actually are. So it's usually just a best guess of like, oh yeah, that's a, you know, blocky headed, short body. Yeah.
It's not a specific breed. Right.
Right. So there is a specific breed, the American Pit Bull Terrier, but then a lot of people use that term pit bull just as like an umbrella term. Right. Yeah. For any of those breeds, like the bully breeds that fall into that.
Why is that such a big percentage of the animals that you get? Why are so many of the ones that you end up having? Are there so many that are out there as strays, or do people get them and then say, I can't handle it? Or why is that such a big makeup of the shelter?
I would say a vast majority of our strays are pit bull mixes. So you kind of hit the nail there, that they're less often our owner surrenders and more often our strays that we get. And I don't know if we have like a solid reason for that, or if it's just kind of the way things seem to play out.
And, you know, going along with that, it's what we see at Wayside, but I know it's seen across the city and across the country as well. So I don't know if there's something going on in the country that kind of...
I don't know what that was.
Sorry, I was interrupted.
I was moving my mic, is what that was.
No, but I do think that if there is that stigma with animals and people think pit bulls are not good animals, then they may want to surrender them or neglect them or, you know, drop them off on the side of the road, unfortunately, because they don't think they're safe in the home or with the kids or whatnot. And so then those animals end up in shelters, and then there's that overpopulation aspect. So that could very, very likely be a reason.
Right. You guys want to answer some behavioral questions we got from the text line? All right. Well, I'm gonna ask mine first, because I don't care about you people on the text line. my question is, I got a dog. I got him from Wayside Waves back in 2016. He's a great dog, kind of a jerk, but I love him. He's never attacked anybody or anything like that, but he's very grumpy. He's always been like that. And I love him for that. I don't want to take that away from him. However, when I take him out for walks, if he sees another person, he's fine. But if he sees another dog, he loses his mind. And he's 10 years old. And I literally, when I go out on walks with him, have to pick him up, even though he's 75 pounds, and carry him away from the other dogs. I don't think he's trying to fight with them necessarily. I think he's trying to socialize. But he's very persistent about it.
I had to pop in. I want Brett to answer this because she is the knower of everything in this field.
Okay.
But I've got one of those dogs at home as well. And I took a dog reactivity class out at Wayside, and it was wonderful. Kind of helped me learn some ways that I can prepare when we go on walks and we go. So my girl doesn't flip out as much, but I'm with you. She goes crazy. She jumps around, does backflips, basically. I have to pick her up. I'm anxious. Yeah. I feel like people are judging me because I have a bad dog. And then we go home and she hops in my lap and we cuddle.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't like bark at him or anything like that. He's just like, well, let me go see that dog.
Yes.
I want to see what they're doing. Right? Why are they out here? And when you think about it, it's like if you were being held captive by giants somewhere and then they took you out for a walk and you saw another human being, you'd probably like, hey, what's going on? What are they doing with us? Why do they keep picking up our poop?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have an answer for how I can deal with this?
Yeah. So reactivity is something we see actually that's super common. Like we see that all the time, all over the place. So there are a lot of different reasons for it. So like you said, sometimes it's that they're so excited to see other dogs and they want to go play with them and they want to go see everyone they meet. Sometimes it's that they're fearful. So a lot of times we'll see, like, we say, I'll get you before you get me. especially leashes. So our dogs are fight or flight animals. Mm-hmm. So when they're on leash, they know that they can't flight. So if they're scared of things, they know that that option has been removed. So we're more likely to see that like fight pop out.
Got it.
So sometimes they're really excited. Sometimes they're scared. Sometimes they are aggressive, you know, just depends on the dog. Usually our goal though is to kind of desensitize them to other dogs. So we're looking at kind of starting under what we call threshold, which is kind of this point where they go from making good decisions to making bad decisions. So you know that point where they can see a dog and they're interested, but they're not reacting. And then maybe you take another step forward and they're like, ah, I got to go see that.
Okay.
So we want to kind of start in that zone. And then we want to basically just start pairing the appearance of other dogs with really good food and saying every time a dog shows up, if you check back in with me, you get something really good for it.
Okay.
And I'll definitely second what Casey says. We have our public training coordinator teaches our reactive dog class, and it is so much fun. So we do 3 dogs in the class at a time, and it's always behind barriers. So the goal is for them to stay under threshold. So you want them to not react. And you can think of them reacting kind of like having a panic attack. So the moment they start reacting.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah. The moment they stop or they start reacting, they stop thinking altogether. So it's really hard to teach them anything once they're in that state. So our goal in class is for them to never enter that state so they can learn the whole time. And like Casey said, Molly will go through, you know, what reactivity is and what we're doing and how you can start to kind of prevent it. And then she works through all sorts of fun little games on, you know, if you're going this way and you need to turn around, here's how you turn around and get away from another dog, or here's how you start pairing the appearance of a dog. And they'll do like, we have some fake dogs we'll bring out that the dogs don't realize are fake. It's great. So we know they're never going to bark or react at the other dog because they're not real. But we can use those at first so that the dogs can start to see it and relax and make good choices. And then we'll start to bring in dogs that are calm and we know are going to be okay and kind of work our way up. So it's a really fun class.
I have to say, when you brought the stuffed dog into my class, my dog lost it, but she's much better with dogs now.
Hey,
she still has panic attacks, but she's better.
You guys stay for another segment?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We have a bunch of questions coming in on the text line, 913-586-7798. If you have any questions you'd like to ask Casey or Brett from from Wayside Waves. It's because your name's Casey.
It threw me off.
From Wayside Waves, 913-586-7798. I'm going to ask you guys this one, and then we'll go to break. You can answer it on the other side. 89510 says, what do you think of e-collars? I'm assuming they're talking about electric collars. Yeah. To train them like, I guess, invisible fencing type of things like that. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes at midday.
Phone number here if you want to text us, 913-586-7798. If you have, I think we're looking, because our experts are more in dogs, and those are majority of the questions that we're getting, feel free to text those in. We'll see what we can come up with.
913-586-7798. Yeah, we have Casey and Brett from Wayside Waves in here with us.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right?
So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
First of all, I want to say Marina is available on, and if she's there for longer than a week, I'm going to adopt her.
Waysidewaves.org.
Somebody needs to take her.
Adopt a pet. If you scroll down, it's in alphabetical order. You can't miss her. Marina. She's right in the middle.
It's the most calming influence.
Yeah.
It's weird to have something so calming in the studio.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually it's like having Xanax on four legs walking around us.
Yeah. She kind of smelled the room. She laying down. She laid down for a while. She checked everybody out. She's getting pets from everybody.
All right. So before we went to break, we did have a question from a listener about e-collars. I'm assuming that means electric shock collars. How do you feel about those?
Yeah, that usually e-collar would be for, like electric collar. So we don't use those at Wayside. Basically, everything we do at Wayside is going to be positive reinforcement and reward based. So when we're looking at training dogs, there are basically like four quadrants we can fall into where we're either adding in something good to encourage behaviors, which is positive reinforcement. That's what we're going to primarily be using. Is basically we want to say, hey, if you do the right thing, I'm going to pay you for it so that you are more likely to keep doing the right thing. It's the same thing as like we all go to work every day so that we can get paid. If I wasn't getting paid by my boss, I might not come to work every day. So we want to make sure we reward the really good stuff. E-collars fall more into what we call positive punishment, which is adding something bad in to reduce a behavior. And, you know, we have these four quadrants we can work within for a reason. So those, you know, they do all exist. They are going to work to some extent. The problem with using positive punishment in most situations is that our dogs are really bad at equating their behavior with consequences. So what we run into a lot of with like e-collars, prong collars, things like that, is that if they are used at the wrong time, our dogs can start to make really poor associations. So like if you're using it to stop like reactivity, like you were talking about, what we can have happen instead is our dog sees dogs and instead of thinking, oh no, a dog, I shouldn't react, I should keep walking, they go, oh no, a dog, I need to get them before they get me. I need to be as loud as I possibly can and keep them away from me. So we can actually see a really sharp increase in the behavior when we use tools like that. Okay. And positive punishment. So
it can backfire pretty easily.
Yeah, I can really quickly backfire. And then again, to be effective, you have to apply it to a degree that the dog finds uncomfortable or doesn't like. So in order for it to work, it has to cause some level of discomfort for the dog. So we try to steer clear of that and use things that don't cause discomfort or pain or anything like that.
From the text line, why does my dog eat socks? And should I be worried that he's planning something? What do you mean planning something?
What
is he planning?
Sock revolt? Well,
yeah, he's going to start selling them at some kind of shop in downtown OP. I don't know what they mean by planning something, but yeah, why do dogs, they're attracted to certain things. I worked in orthotics for a while. It was a big thing. We had to tell people like, keep your dogs away from these. They will chew them up. So yeah. they just like our scent, right?
Yeah. They like your scent. Shoes, especially shoes and socks smell a lot like you. You wear them all day. They smell a little gross. Dogs love things that smell a little gross. So they're all over that. I would be worried if my dog is eating socks, not from a behavior standpoint, but from a medical standpoint. They can get impacted and be an big issue. But no, it's pretty normal. Every now and then we'll find a sock in my backyard that my dog snuck out there when I had the back door open. So it's not abnormal, but
wow.
Let's see. Also from the text line, how much aggression is trainable, and when do you have to accept that a dog might not be safe in all situations?
That's
a question, but
that's definitely a tricky question, that I wouldn't want to like give full advice on without knowing the situation. Usually we say, like, if you're concerned about aggression, you should call in a trainer, have someone come out to your house and kind of assess it and look at it. I love that they're asking that though, and they're thinking it through, because we definitely have to be careful about safety for, you know, our dogs and our community and anybody living around us. But yeah, if you're concerned, I would definitely call in a trainer and have someone take a look at it.
This is a question. It's from the text line, but I'm going to add my own thing on here. They say, how do you calm a dog that goes nuts every time the doorbell rings? So my wife and I have had this debate where she's like, I don't want our dog to not bark.
Yeah.
I want him to bark at people who are coming to the front door. One of the reasons we got the dog is to warn us if somebody's trying to get into the house, or to scare somebody off if they're trying to get in the house. So, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of annoying that he does that, but really, do you want to train that out of him? And my thing is, it's embarrassing every time we get an Amazon package that the dog is barking until the guy drives away. So
fair.
Where do you fall on that? Is there a way to train them to just stop barking at certain people? Only bark at evil people. Is there a way to do that?
So that, not necessarily to only bark at evil people. The great thing about dogs is that they're simple and that their brains work a little more simply than like humans. They don't have those same complex thought processes that we have. The bad thing is that makes it tricky to say, hey, I want you to distinguish between the murderer and the Amazon driver.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Makes it a little tricky. I always joke that someday my postman is going to get me and my dogs are going to be like, oh, I told you. Yeah. I told you that guy was bad. Like, you should have known.
Yeah.
So
great cover for a murderer, an right? Amazon driver.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know why I was in the area. I have a great alibi. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I usually will try to set kind of criteria for what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. So like with my dogs, same thing. I'm similar to you. Like, I like the idea that they let me know that there's someone here and that they bark at someone. But same thing. I don't want them going completely nuts the entire time. It drives me crazy. So with my dogs, I have taught them just to come back when I call them. So they can bark, and then when I ask them to stop, they need to come back to me. Working on a lot of just recall, basically having really good food, like, okay, guys, come back over here and you guys each get something and let's move on with our lives and go do something different. And if you don't want your dog to bark at all, you can definitely do actually a very similar process to the reactive dog piece, where you're basically just going to pair whatever stimulus it is that causes that. So the knocking door, the doorbell, with something good, so that they start to associate it with something good and remaining quiet. So
what do you struggle with your dogs? This is what you do for a living. What troubles do you have with your dogs?
Oh, like everything. No, not really. But I joke that if you're a dog trainer, I think it's against the rules to have like really nice dogs. You have to have like these dogs that nobody else wanted that somehow are in your house. And you're like, okay,
you can do it.
So I have two dogs and I adore both of them. But I did end up with them kind of like that. And nobody else really wanted you. So now you're in my house kind of way. So one of my boys is actually a former feral. So when he arrived at Wayside, he was 4 months old and had been shot 25 times with either buckshot or BB pellets. And we had no idea when he got to us. You couldn't tell. We did x-rays probably like 6 or 7 months later for something different and saw like his body is just riddled with buckshot or BB pellets.
Oh my gosh.
So he is a very fearful dog. Probably won't ever be normal, but that's definitely like one of my like passion areas now that I didn't realize was until I brought him home, that just working on confidence boosting. And it's something we love doing at Wayside too, because we actually have a behavior program for shy and fearful dogs. So my guy Harry went through the behavior program. It's called Confidence College. He went through that and then came to foster with me, and I had him for 3 days, and I looked at my coworker and I said, I'm going to keep that dog. And she said, no, you're not. And I was like, I'm going to keep that dog. So he went through that program to work on just building confidence around people and learning to be able to approach and just live a normal life and things you don't think of, but like the toilet flushing, the dishwasher running, the TV turning on, things like that, that are terrifying for these dogs that have never been in a home. So he went through that program to kind of work on his confidence boosting. And then my other guy is actually the literal exact opposite of that. So he is now he's 2. He was 6 months old when I got him. Belgian Malinois mix that was literally climbing shoulders to bite people's hair in his meet and greets, and was like hanging off of people's hair in his meet and greets. He was returned for quote unquote ruining someone's life. So
that's dramatic.
Holy cow. I had a broken foot when I met him, and I.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It was just like biding my time for the day that I was able to take him home. And I did not plan to keep him either. I just was going to bring him home and do a boot camp right. And fell in love with him. So I have like both ends of the spectrum with my like really wild guy. And he actually is pretty easy to live with compared to the fearful guy because we do a lot of dog sports and hiking and things like that. But the fearful guy is definitely a lot more work.
All right.
Okay. Got
well, Casey.
Wonder if they were just going to be perfect, you know?
No, not even close.
No.
Never.
By the way, love your tattoo. That is an awesome tattoo.
Oh, thank you. It's my old dog.
I also want to throw in that you guys, I love this on your website. It you can make monetary donations to Wayside Waves, but there's also the Amazon wish list that people want to just donate, you know, chew toys, milk bones, things like that. You can help out just by going there. Don't have to spend a ton of money, but you guys are so awesome. Wayside Waves, Casey and Brett, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us and for starting this. We're really excited to be part of it.
Yeah.
Waysidewaves.org.
There you go.
Waysidewaves.org.
All right. It's midday. Jamie Weir.
913-586-7798 if you want to take part in the conversation here. So American churchgoers, those who regularly go to church, average only 2 out of every 5 Sundays. But they say Gen Z now leads in church attendance.
So this is a weird study to me, because if you look at all the other studies about religion, it's trending down generation over generation with young people. Like it, and every new generation, they're going to church less and less. So it's weird to me that Gen Z, according to this, is leading in church attendance. Why do you think that is? Why would that be?
So to be clear, Gen Z, born 1997 to 2012.
Yeah.
Do math for me. How old are they? I graduated from high school in 1997.
97 to be 18 to whatever.
18 to however many years after that.
I was born in 99 and okay. I'm 26.
So I'm going to assume some of that is, if we're looking at adults, they're still doing what they grew up with.
Yeah.
And they haven't made the choice for themselves yet. But that's also the age at which you're going to college. And a lot of kids, at least when I went to college, a lot of the kids that went to church a lot before they were 18 quit going when they were in college. They're partying. They're living college life. So, but I assume that's people that just are still doing what they were raised with.
Yeah.
And it must taper off over time.
Maybe. And I also think, I wonder how many of them are independent. If you're 18 are you making the choice to go to church, or is that right. what your family does and you live here, mister, you're going right. to go to church, and then you and all of your siblings are going as well. And so that, I mean, if thinking back over my life, I went to church a lot more when I was a kid mm-hmm. than I do as an adult. And reason why is I was also going to school, and it was a Catholic grade school.
Yeah.
And then we'd go to church once a week with the school, and then we'd go to church on Sunday.
They said, and so their math on this is kind of strange. They also said it's possible that the ones who still go, Gen Z, are more likely to go more, mm-hmm. whereas older generations go to church less frequently, even when they still attend.
It could also be this. I remember my dad never went to church with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be like, wait, but why do we have to go and he doesn't? And he was like, I went to church plenty when I was a kid. Yeah. So is that it? Like, my soul's already saved. I don't need to keep going back.
Boy, so Pew Research Center says large numbers of older people have stopped going altogether.
Yeah.
22% of people over the age of 65 seldom or never went to church. That was in 2007. That's 40% now.
The pews are just so uncomfortable. Is that it? I got a bad hip, bony back.
I mean, there's an argument to be made, like, has church changed in a way that older people don't like as much? Has it become too
preachy
or progressive, or has it become too much fun? Has it become,
well, that's
you know,
a good point,
streaming and online, and
it's always an initiative.
Not as traditional.
It's always there's an initiative to try to bring younger people into the church.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody ever's. How do we keep the old people around?
Maybe they don't care as much about,
because they're on their way out.
Well, they figure the old people are going to stay no matter what.
If we get the young people, we get them for life. The old people, whatever.
VeggieTales has become too big of a thing, you know.
Is that what it is?
Find Bob the Tomato kind of annoying.
When COVID-19 restrictions were lifted, they said many churchgoers seemed to reevaluate what they wanted to do with their Sunday mornings. Gen X attendance returned to pre-pandemic levels. Millennials church attendance went up. Let's see. Yeah, I'm laughing at how seldom people go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious to know, if you're a regular churchgoer, and I don't even know what to call regular, why don't you go every Sunday? And if you go once every 4 weeks or once every 6 or 7 weeks, why is that?
Because the Chiefs have one bye week.
I was going to say.
Well, but I grew up with, like, you either went to church every Sunday or you didn't.
You know what? Here's why. Because younger people have more things to repent for. You're a bunch of sinful monsters.
Not you as a kid.
Well, not me. But other people drinking and cavorting. Shenanigans. Then you go to church and try to cleanse your soul. Us older people, we don't do anything. We're boring.
I'm not saying I don't want to talk religion too much in the last 16 minutes. But I'm curious. If you are somebody who goes to church but not, you know, at least 3 out of 4, why don't you go every Sunday?
913-586-7798.
Just answer a question. I'm just curious to know what's the reason that you don't go.
I haven't checked the text
all
line yet.
The time.
Hold on a second.
You just too?
It's too political.
Okay. Do you consider yourself to be a member of a church if you're not going at least every other Sunday?
I go to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and a couple other nights. I am Gene. That's their name.
Okay.
The music is too loud and annoying. My mom's priest got too political once. She didn't like that.
You're about to walk out the door too. And so you're going to set this up and then
it's because the preacher's talking too much about, never mind.
Yeah.
I'll leave it alone. Yeah. I have to get out of here to get to a kid's doctor's appointment. So
yeah.
913-586-7798. Why are you going to hell? 913-586-7798.
If you go to church, if you are a church goer,
why don't you love God anymore?
Why don't you go every Sunday?
He loves you.
Why do so many people only go, you know, every time the seasons change, every 6 weeks?
Well, you go for Christmas, you go for Easter. Those are your have to days.
Yeah.
What other reasons? 913-586-7798. Good luck, Jamie. Call in anybody and make sure you tell her why you're not going to church anymore. Yeah. Middays
we'll
with Jamie
tomorrow.
Coming up.
All right, we have a new study out. ChristianityToday.com had this one, and there's a lot in this. It is Gen Z churchgoers between the ages of 18 and 28 attend church more frequently right now than their siblings, their parents, or their grandparents. And I'm fascinated by the numbers in this about, because this is just not how I grew up, growing up, you either went to church every single Sunday, or some Catholics went on Saturday sometimes, so you didn't have to get up and go on Sunday, so you could watch the Bears and not have to go to church on Sunday and interrupt the day, or you didn't go at all. And I'm fascinated by, and this is across every generation, that you don't go every Sunday. That you don't, it's not a priority to go every Sunday. Some are going every second, every other Sunday. Some are going once a month, once every 2 months. But you still go. And I'm so curious about the mentality of that, of belonging to a church. If you belong and you go some Sundays, but not others. If you want to weigh in, 913-586-7798. Let's go to the phones. Mary's in Kansas City. Hey, Mary, what do you think about this one?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think with a lot of older people, I think with COVID, they started showing church online. And I think a lot of older people got comfortable watching church online and still do it.
I wonder if this counts that. Like, does going to church mean you have to go to church?
Yeah, well, yeah. All of them are online now, though. So I know a lot of people that I go to church. I'm older, but I know a lot of people that watch it online. But I think with the younger people, the reason is they're starting families, and I think they want to raise their kids in church. But then when the kids get a little bit older, they start having baseball tournaments, softball tournaments. You know, they start having sports on Sundays, which they didn't used to do. Mm-hmm. And so now maybe when they get into their 30s and 40s, the kids are older. I think maybe they go, you know, a couple times a month, maybe because the kids are in sports.
That makes sense. Yeah. And that plays out generationally. Thanks a lot for the call, Mary. Yeah. Is it you go when you have nothing else going on and that's it? And I say this as somebody who has never gone to church regularly ever in my life. That's just weird to me. It's either a priority for your family or it's not a priority for your family. And that's weird that you would put it behind some of the school activities or whatever else you have going on. Let's see. Next up, Shawnee to talk to Mike. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Oh, love you. Love your show.
Thank you.
I have a kind of opposite family side, religious belief system. My mom's side, my grandfather was an ordained Baptist minister, but he only taught for a while and then actually retired from the post office. He wasn't a preacher. And on the other side, my grandmother and my dad, my guess would be, his older sister and their kids all became an occult. And my dad kind of escaped early enough and just kind of became agnostic. And that's what I've kind of, I've kind of pulled through, but, you know, some denominations, you know, and they say they're always open, but, you know, the main tradition is just the Sunday.
Right.
For Christianity and Saturday for Jewish observation, which has actually one of the lowest percentage of people going to church. They're the lowest.
Is who?
The synagogues.
Okay.
On Saturday, that's their, that's their day. They go to church, but like as time has go on, they're like one of the lowest turnouts right now to making it to church on a Saturday. Because I mean, if you got money wrapped up in a kid's activity, sport, you got no time.
Yeah. And I guess you have to, do the kids stuff more than, going to church.
Why they don't go all these times during the day is things are busy, but, a lot of them, that's their tradition and they do it. And it's way better than having your part of your family get into a cult, I can tell you.
I can't even. If we have more time, I would. I would be so curious to know more about that.
But. Yeah. Call me anytime.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate you getting in. Yeah, maybe it was just different when I was a kid, but aside from me and my parents, and the reason we didn't go is a long story that we'll never have enough time for. The rest of my family went every Sunday. My grandma went, or they went on Saturday. It wasn't, regardless of what the kids had going on, regardless of what was going on anywhere, everybody went every Sunday. and the Bears were playing, then we hung out after or whatever happened, but everybody went. And it's just interesting that, and the online part and whether that still counts. And if we have more time, we talk about that. Do you need to be there in person for it to count, to get as much out of it? And I think as long as, you know, who am I to say what counts as showing up or what doesn't? But I was in a hotel once. I was traveling in Iowa City not that long ago. And on Sunday morning, I was having breakfast and I saw a woman who had a laptop up in front of her the whole time she was sitting there for breakfast. She was watching her, she was traveling, but she was watching her home church service being streamed online while she was in the hotel. I mean, so there are ways that that has become a lot more accessible, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So, all right. That music means that does it for us for the day. We'll be back tomorrow. Just had to slip out a little bit early, so we will turn this over to Dana and Parks. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow on KMBZ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.